This is an ABC podcast.
You often will see where a gentoo penguin has stood on the beach after coming out of the surf. They kind of get out of the surf and then stand on the beach and just recover for maybe 20 minutes, just standing still. And there'll be this shape that's like a Jackson Pollock painting on the black sand of these big white streaks of poo. It's so awesome. I took so many photos of it.
Anne Jones here, and last week on Off Track, Stella Thomas, ranger with the Tasmanian Parks and Wildlife Service, started to walk with us all around Macquarie Island. She'd overwintered there, counting, tagging, cleaning up rubbish, monitoring wildlife, and basically having the time of her life.
If you say you have bushwalking experience, you go to Macquarie Island and you start at ground zero again, it feels like, because it's so wet underfoot. Every step you take feels like you're taking two because you're pulling your foot out of a wet bog. You're always going up a hill at the start of every day.
We're all in varying levels of isolation at the moment, so to make this program I've used sounds that Stella recorded herself, as well as sounds from the ABC archives from a time when previous ABC Nature Nerds got to be there on location on this island that's 1,500 kilometres southeast of Tasmania, halfway to Antarctica.
Gentoo penguins, alarm. Group of adults disturbed by intruder. Macquarie Island, 2 minutes 10.
And without these recorders, we wouldn't have been able to have Stella take us quite so magically to her favourite place on Earth. And starting where we left off in the last episode, gentoo penguins right above the featherbed. Orange beaks and feet and absolutely spectacular ice-white splodges above the eyes that fall away on the sides in a dotty gradient. Sort of like a fabulous YouTube beauty vlogger makeup set. And that's not the only splatters of white.
So over winter, the gentoos, they come up into the tussock and they make pretend nests and they practice nesting and chatting to a mate and maybe sussing out their mate for the season. And a really funny thing about gentoo nests is the frosted tussock that is behind the nest, where there's just these epic sprays of white penguin poo that make these really cool shapes and patterns throughout the tussock. You can spot a gentoo nest a mile away just from the white tussock. From standing next to these nests, you can look with your back to the sea and up onto these really steep cliffs up on top of the plateau, and there's often a nice bit of low cloud hanging over the island. And you'll see frosted tussocks scattered further up the hill where more penguins have followed up the hill. And then turning back towards the beach, it's just this never-ending ocean. No other human life out there. The West Coast is always very moody and has a lot of rage in it, and there's always a white wave smashing along the black shore, and the water just offshore is usually this really epic milky blue colour from sediments that are coming off the shore and then out into the deep blue. So there's really kind of like nice hues of colour out into the water. One of the really special things about the ocean that I could just watch for hours was the shores around the rocky outcrops was the seaweed, the Davillia species of seaweed that really make these epic swirly shapes, like the rocks have skirts almost, and it really moves in these swirls and kind of almost looks like it's moving in slow motion when it moves with the swell. It's mesmerizing. Walking up on top of the plateau from Bower Bay, you climb up these jump ups and you walk up on top of the plateau And if you're lucky enough to have it on a clear day, it's just these long views along this mountainous, grassy, golden hills, alpine lakes, and dynamic cliffs that have big black rock jutting out of them, and the green tussock all mixed in. It really is just like this beautiful colour scheme of golden yellow to dark green to pitch black. The Antarctic prions return to the island in around maybe October, and they nest in burrows on top of the plateau. They're smaller birds, a bit smaller than a seagull, and they've got nice grey and white plumage, and they dig these burrows. I'd say they dig them pretty deep these days, so the skuas have more trouble to when they're trying to dig them out of their burrows, but you'll be walking along the overland track and you just, the hills are alive with the sound of prions, was what I used to think in my head. It's just this epic kind of purring sound that happens when you're walking along the track. It's pretty cool. And you'll see them in big flocks flying just offshore when they start to return to the island, especially following big pods of orca that are also cruising past the island. Killer whales or orca flock back to the island in pretty large numbers. There are resident winter orcas that you'll see cruising past quite often, but in spring the numbers rapidly increase and they come quite close to shore to feed on seals and penguins, and it's pretty unlikely if you're looking out to the sea for long enough to not see an orca, I would say. I've seen them come so close to the shore at Green Gorge, which is this little hut bay on the east coast, that I could see its eye. It came so close. Like, I was so glad I was on the shore. I was cheering for the seals, but it was a big, big orca with a big dorsal fin, and felt like it looked me straight in the eye. It was pretty awesome. And you walk down overland track towards Herd Point. A couple of special things that you'll run into along this part of the track. There's a royal penguin colony that's maybe 300 metres above sea level off the side of the track. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of royal penguins nesting up here. And they've walked up there from the sea, which is pretty amazing considering their legs are so tiny.
B00306, Royal Penguin. Splashing noises penguins walk up and down creek from rookery to ocean. Water is relatively deep, hence an awkward plodding action. Recorded 3rd of December 74 on Macquarie Island.
The tracks that lead up to these penguin colonies really high up on top of the plateau have scratch marks in all of the rocks where penguins for thousands of years have walked up this track to get to this colony, and you can see it written in the rock. They're quite screechy little penguins, and you also on Macquarie Island get them in such loud numbers that you can almost not distinguish one singular penguin, but they're just like screechy little penguins, and that's the sound you go to sleep to when you're at Herd Point, because you're surrounded by hundreds of thousands of these tiny birds. There's often a pretty decent ring of really green, healthy, nitrogen-rich looking tussock around there that's been having just thousands of years of poo deposits. But inside the colony, there's not one living plant. It's just pretty thick, slimy, smelly slop that's there all year round. Smelliest smell you'll ever smell, especially if you fall in it. You're not getting that out of your clothes anytime soon. Feathers too, and they are the feathers from the penguin colonies when you're there, when they're not around. They're just, you don't want to get them anywhere near your face, and it's pretty sad when you do. Or drop a glove in penguin slop. It's just really sad time. The colony at Herd Point is the largest colony on the island and on the planet, because they're an endemic Macquarie Island species. So there's hundreds of thousands of these penguins nesting right near the hut that we're based at. You know, you have to plug in all the vents with cans of food so penguin feathers don't get swept inside of the hut and into your drink bottles or your cups of tea. Like, there's just penguin feathers everywhere. But you do get used to the sound, and it kind of just becomes part of day-to-day life, and you miss it when it's not there.
B003006, Royal Penguin, Aggression and Fighting, Two Adults, Fight Between Two Birds, with Others Joining In Occasionally. Frequent rapid whack of flippers occurs with ecstatic braying display call. Recorded on the 14th of October 75 on Macquarie Island. Duration 9 minutes 35.
So we're lucky to have five remote field huts on the island. Some of them are buildings with a little living area and bunk beds and a kitchen and a cold room. Pretty rinky-dink outdoor showers, which are pretty remarkable places. The outdoor showers are a big flower bucket with a shower head shoved in the end of it, and you get a kettle of hot water and hoist this bucket up just outside in the elements. Just, there's no kind of shelter really, especially at Herd Point. You're just on the deck out the front, and you ask the other people inside the hut if they can just stay inside for the next 10 minutes, and you hoist this bucket up and turn the shower on and get your gear off really quick and just have these most epic hot showers, especially in the middle of winter when it's blowing a gale and, you know, there's elephant seals watching you and gentoo penguins raising an eyebrow. But it's pretty quick process because it's pretty freezing, but yeah, makes you feel alive, that's for sure. And clean, so clean. From Herd Point, always going up, and the grassy jump up at Herd Point is pretty remarkable. It's steep, and it's maybe 300 meters of vertical up, and you need to use that tussock to pull yourself up. It's more of an arm workout rather than a leg workout. And then you get to the top of that jump up and you just collapse and look out over this view, the most southern tip of the island, and there's nothing really between you and Antarctica. And it's always a traditional rest spot and maybe a chalky bar break stop at the top of that jump up. A special place to visit is one of the specially managed areas of Petrel Peak in the southwest corner of the island. And this is where the wandering albatross nest. It's specially managed and not many people can go in there because of this unique habitat for these threatened birds. And so you come up onto a crest of a small hill and look out towards Petrel Peak, and then up on top of the cliffs there's this special cushion plant called Azarella or Coriensis. And this is another reason why this area is quite special. There's four species of albatross on the island, but the wandering albatross are there in winter, and they nest on little tussocky nooks, not really anywhere specific. They just pick usually the spot where they were hatched, and the chicks that I was monitoring were on these huge nest bowls, big walled nest bowls with a kind of clearing around them, and they've always got such epic views from the nests. It's kind of, they choose the location for the views, it feels like, half the time. During the summer period, the summer ranger went around and found the wandering albatross nests and put a monitoring camera there. Yeah, we just keep an eye on them. Each month we go and check the batteries and the SD card, check out all the photos of what the chick has been up to and the weather conditions that it's faced over that month.
So every month it's a three-day-ish trip down and a three-day-ish trip back to change the batteries, essentially.
That's it. Isn't that the greatest job ever?
It was
such a good excuse. And it's, you'd often tie it in with another job you have to do, whether it's a marine debris collection at Caroline Cove or a seal counting on the East Coast. So sometimes I'd go down to Petrel Peak to check the batteries. So it's pretty special. They're pretty important, beautiful birds. So, yeah, it was worth it. And some of the photos off the cameras were just hilarious, especially when the birds come right up to the camera to have a look. They're just huge birds. You really can't explain how big they are. They do tower over you when you're lying down next to the camera to change the batteries. There's this just gigantic chick on its nest, and yeah, they're massive, and you just want to back away slowly, really. Over the other side of Petrel Peak, if you keep walking up over the top, the three other species of albatross nest down here. So the black-headed albatross. And the grey-headed albatross. And light-mantled albatross all nest down this area. Really steep, remote cliffs as far away as you can get from any other human or station. And yeah, they're nesting on these big bowls as well. Quite curious birds. I guess it's a good spot too, because it's so, it's like you get the full grunt of the westerly winds, so it's so good for them to be able to land there and soar off their nests. It's quite a good windy spot for an albatross. They just open their wings and jump. It is unbelievable, and especially for the chicks when they're ready to fledge. They get one shot and one shot only. They just spend a few weeks stretching their wings and flapping, and then one day when the wind is right, they just jump and they're off. So Lusitania Bay is on the east coast, a third of the way down the island, and it is the largest king penguin colony on the island. There's maybe 400,000 plus birds here peak season. It's steep, tussock-covered cliffs that come down into this big bay that's just totally flat, covered in penguins. And it's just so loud and chaotic, and the colours of the king penguins, bright yellow ear patch and brownness of the chicks, brown fluffy chicks, is, yeah, it's pretty eye-opening. Yeah, the topography, these birds are really kind of boxed in by these big cliffs with this really thin river valley coming down right in the middle that kind of splits the colony in two. They're really jammed in. They're standing really close together and they don't build nests. They just have their eggs on their feet. And so there's no real need for nesting. They just need a flat spot where they can rest their egg on their feet and lean back on their heels. So yeah, they're pretty jammed in close together, especially when there's breeding pairs and chicks all there at the same time. It's a lot of birds. Kind of reminds me of a battle scene from Lord of the Rings. It's just kind of goes on forever. And then the line of giant petrels just offshore, just waiting for some bird to fall. So when I say waiting for a bird to fall, it literally means a bird to fall over because they're easier prey. They see the weakest link and they'll flock to it.
Four 100,000 king penguins jammed into the space about the size of two football fields. It's actually right back where we started in episode one of Stella's tour of Macquarie Island with the penguins and her having a bit of an Attenborough moment, I suppose.
G'day, my name's Anne Jones and you're listening to the ABC's Nature Program live at Macquarie Island. Hear that sound? That's the sound of an ancient bird species. That long trumpeting note that you can hear is the sound of a king penguin adult locating its chick amongst the rookery. Surrounding the rookery, giant petrels eagerly awaiting for the weak to fall. Here on Macquarie Island, you either eat or be eaten.
It was really hard to leave. I felt like I'd kind of really fallen in love with an island if you can do that. It was, yeah, quite heart-wrenching to know that I was going back into the other world, I called it, not the real world, because Macquarie Island felt more real than anything. And yeah, it was, I was pretty sad when I got on the boat, that's for sure. Almost had to be pushed off the island, but I guess there's a part of me that just thinks that I'll be back one day, and also just to like live it. Just to think of the memory that it is such a good news conservation story of Macquarie Island. Like, it has recovered and the weather and the wildlife, they really are in control. And humans are tiny specks of insignificance there. And that's a really nice thing to keep in the back of my mind. Now I'm back. Kind of makes me quite emotional even thinking about that.
Stella Thomas is a ranger with the Tasmanian Parks and Wildlife Service, and she was on Macquarie Island last year, the lucky thing. She recorded some of the sounds you heard in this tour, and also lots of them came from the ABC archives. I'm Anne Jones, and remember, meet me here at the same time next time, because adventure awaits us somewhere else.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.